This is the fourth time we are celebrating Advent. Do you remember why we are taking the time to be together around our Advent wreath?
To remember that Advent is a time of preparation.
During these days, we are getting our hearts ready for the coming of the Christ child.
The first time we lit the candle of hope, we wait with hope for the day when we celebrate the birth of Jesus again.
The second time we lit the candle of love to remind us that Jesus came to earth to show and tell us of God's love.
We lit the third candle to remind us that the angels told the shepherds good news that will bring great joy to all people.
Today, we light the candle of peace. Our world is not always a peaceful world, but people sometimes hurt other people. But God promises peace inside us, even when things are hard. During Advent, we pray that we and all people will see God's peace.
Ago, Isaiah told everyone that God would send a special sign. A virgin would have a baby, and they would call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
God sent the angel Gabriel to a young woman named Mary, who was going to marry a man named Joseph. Gabriel had a special message.
Hello, Mary. God is very happy with you. You are going to have a baby boy. You will name him Jesus, and he will be the Son of God.
I will do whatever God wants. Let it happen just as you said.
Then the angel went away.
The ruler said everyone must go back to Bethlehem. So Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem.
Baby Jesus. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn.
Yes.
Shepherds watching their sheep at night. Suddenly, an angel appeared.
Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. A savior has been born. You will find him lying in the manger.
Then a multitude of angels appeared, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth."
After the angels went away, a shepherd said,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see what happened."
We found Mary, Joseph, and the baby, just as the angels told us.
We praise God for everything we saw and heard.
Far away, some wise men saw a bright star in the sky. They followed it to find baby Jesus.
Wait, do I say my line? Okay. We all saw a star and then we came to worship him.
We brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
We gave all gifts and worshipped him.
Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born to save us all and bring joy to the world. Let us rejoice because the Savior is born.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every sea. nature sing, in heaven, in heaven, nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior brings, let all their songs employ. For fields and plough, rocks, hills, and grains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy.
It's so awesome to have our kids doing their thing. They've been working on it, and they get so nervous. Yesterday, while we were in here rehearsing, and so this morning, we just want to share briefly some things for us to consider on this Christmas Sunday. And I gotta find my notes because they were pulled up earlier, but now they're gone. Here they are. I found them. How I love technology. So here we have these kids, right? And I love Christmas time, and I love this guy, Santa. I love Santa. Santa's pretty cool. Because I see the opportunity in St. Nicholas to teach my kids and my grandchildren about Jesus, all right, about Christ. Now to look at some things, when you're talking to your kids and your grandchildren, you have an opportunity to talk about St. Nicholas. He built his life on following Jesus way back in 256 A.D. I'm going to give you some facts about him. The legend is that St. Nicholas saved these three girls from being sold as slaves. And you can read about that. And St. Nicholas spent his life helping the sick and the poor. He loved, served, and gave because of Jesus, because of his faith in Jesus. That was St. Nicholas. But then, in about 1820 to 1840, things changed our American way. He became a marketing tool. He became a marketing tool, 1820 to 1840. And then in 1939, Rudolph came on the scene, all right, this obscure reindeer with a red nose. So that's pretty cool. Rudolph came on the scene. But now, today it's rare to find Jesus in Santa's story at all. So here we are with kids, and we're like, they're going to ask, well, Santa, what's the deal? I had somebody in my class that said he wasn't real. But is he real or is he not real? That was never a problem with our kids. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Santa is real. There's that part we just went through of Santa and how he lived, St. Nicholas and how he lived, very real part of it. And then I look at how he lived, that because God loved Santa, because God loved St. Nicholas, it changed his life. He believed, St. Nicholas believed in Jesus. So he did what Jesus told him to do, what Jesus told us to do, he did it. So he served and he loved others as his focus. He gave as his focus. I love that about Santa. So yeah, Santa was real and it is real, but today in the U.S., we get to give too. we get to give too. We give gifts, the gifts under our tree, we give them because God gave us the gift of Jesus. A few days ago, I was talking to my grandson, Ethan, and Ethan is seven. Yeah, that's, I'm a grandfather. Give me a break. I was right decade, all right? He's seven. And I was talking to him. I said, Ethan, buddy, there's all these gifts and everything. Why do we give each other's gifts to celebrate Jesus' birthday? And he, without even missing a beat, looked at me like, Grandpa, you're supposed to know this. You stand up front every week. He looked at me and he said, because God gave us the gift of Jesus. Duh, is what he looked like. Duh, this is why we do it. And I was like, I'm so proud. So, is Santa real? Yeah. And you know what I love? I love the fun part of Santa, the imagination part of Santa. Robin and I are big in imagination with our kids. We're huge in that. And I know there are people out there who are like, no, you never can, it's lying to your kids and you gotta be realistic and you gotta be me to be to be. I'm like, oh, you're fun at parties. But in our house, when we play pirates, we are pirates. I mean, our house is a ship. It's a real ship. And I'm a pirate and I'm jumping around when we're playing the fun things of Santa with Rudolph and Jingle Bells and the bells on our front door ringing. We're loving the fun part of the imagination of Santa. You know what I love? Guys, I still hear the jingle bell. You know, like in Polar Express? Have you guys seen that movie, Polar Express, yet? About the train and stuff that come? Yeah? You see that movie and the adults that can't hear the jingle bell anymore? Why can't they hear the jingle bell? Do you know? Have you ever seen it? No? No? She says yeah, but you were sleeping through it. There's that part in the Polar Express where you know, it's like the adults take the bell and they go like this. Oh, it's broken. It doesn't work. And the kids are like, yeah, it does. And the whole storyline is because they believe in the imagination and the magic of Christmas. When I get to be one of Santa's helpers, and I get to put on the beard and stuff, you know what? I become Santa, baby. I'm like, ho, 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 ho. I love it. One time my dad he got to be a Santa's helper and put on the beard and all that stuff. And he came and my kids and Joshua's 38 now, 37? 37. He's 37 now. And he was like, two, three, seven. He was little, and my dad comes out walking down the road, and he's being Santa's helper, and he comes in, and he's like, Josh is looking like this, big eyes, and my dad goes, heh, 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 it's ho, ho, ho. Santa's helper was messing up. He was a heh, 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 heh. And my mom says, it's ho, 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 Grandpa. Well, Josh, of course, is like, the whole Santa's helper thing. He knows that he's got all these elves and helpers who have to help and everything. So he was okay with it. We were having a blast with Santa. I love the story of Santa because it's all because of Jesus. Now, Hal and I have been studying for a series coming this spring. I've been studying, comparing and contrasting our societal norms of fear, anxiety, and becoming convinced that we're more and more in the need of the message of Christ who said, do not fear? Are we raising our children in an age of anxiety? Are we raising our children to be afraid? Are we afraid all the time? And there's an author with the book out, it's called The Anxious Generation, a really good book about how we're conditioning our children to be scared, to be anxious. So have we, as adults, been rewired over time? When Santa started becoming a marketing thing in 1820, you know, sometimes in the United States, I have to ask myself, do I exist just to buy? Do I exist, do I have value in America because, only because I am a potential consumer of things? Is that my value in our society? And I look and I say, what is it that drives all of us? Is it fear is what I'm studying and wondering. Is it fear? What are the adult fears? What are we anxious about? And I looked up and so our adult fears are loss of security. Our adult fears are loss of our own value, our importance, our status, our meaning, our position. We're scared of rejection. We're afraid to be alone. We're afraid that there will be harm come to us because every day we see harm in our news media. Have we been rewired to be scared to death all the time? And how does that contrast with the message of this good news story? When Gabriel turned on his mic halfway through, his message was that rejoice. You need not fear. Behold, I bring you good news. Good news, that angel. And as he's talking, that we don't need to be in fear. But then I ask, are we also rewiring our children to live in fear? Example. Give you an example. There are 130,000 public K-12 schools in America. The odds that your child will have a school shooting in their next day of school, the odds are 0.00063%. The odds that they will have a school shooting before they graduate are 0.0065%. You understand that? You know, psychologists are asking, are we doing more damage to our children by preparing them with these lockout drills and hiding in the closet and everybody be quiet because there's a school shooter, when the chances of it actually happening, I am not saying it doesn't happen. It happens far too much. In my view, and some of you are not going to like me at all, my view is we have too many guns and I don't want any more. I don't want all these guns. And so some of you are like, that's it, leaving the church, darn liberal. I look and I say, what are the answers for this? But then I look and say, how are we conditioning our children? And are we conditioning them for realistic fears? Realistic or minuscule? The same discussion was happening when some of you grew up hiding under your desks. You remember that, hiding under your desks for air raid drills in case somebody launched a nuclear weapon? Like that desk was like nuclear proof or something? And we go through this and we make these drills, but see, here's the thing. If we're going to use logic about real fears, we should be 1,000 times more scared to put our children in a car. A 1,000 times more scared to put them in a car. The National Safety Council estimates that in the lifetime, our odds as an American dying in a car crash is about 1 in 93. So 1.08 chance. I mean, I still take medicine that has a 2.3% of making my legs fall off. You know, you guys, and there have been reports of this. You're like, well, I got to take that medicine anyway. But there's a 1% chance, and I look and I say, I'm still going to drive my car today. Example, we're scared of people. You ever see on Facebook? Anybody seen that guy walking around the neighborhood knocking on doors? What's that about? Kind of creepy if you ask me. He's walking on he's coming right up to the doors and he's holding a clipboard. He comes to the door and he rings the bell. Anybody know what he wants? I'm like, he's a sales guy. He's selling solar panels or something. No, we think he's probably coming around the neighborhood to kill us and steal all our stuff. He's coming around to do harm. We got these Ring doorbells so we can see them before they come. We can see them at our office. And I look, in the United States, here's another statistic. In the United States, only about 0.3%, that's less than one, 0.3% of missing children cases involve abduction by a stranger. 0.3%. To put it in perspective, the odds are roughly 1 in 720,000. Now, your odds of being struck by lightning in your lifetime, according to Britannica, your odds of being struck by lightning are 1 in 15,300. 750,000, 1 in 750,000. Or 1 in 15,000. You should be more worried about your child being struck by lightning playing in the front yard than being abducted. But we don't use logic. My theory is, as I'm studying more, we're being rewired to be scared of everything and even the most minuscule thing. We're petrified to let our kid play in the yard alone while we do the dishes. Because our neighbor might call the cops and say they're not watching their child. You know, a lot of us grew up in a generation that, I don't know. I figure our children let us out and said, well, if they don't come back, we'll make more. We had wagons that we made jumps and went down hills with no helmets, and we did all these crazy things. And now a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists are starting to say, our children need more opportunities to take those risks. When I grew up, you go in a class, 30% of them had a cast on. We were like, look at mine! I remember when they came out with fiberglass casts. That was so cool. You could swim with them. And now, it's like a rarity to see a kid with a cast. You know, why? My parents would say, see that thing? Can you climb it? I bet you can't. I'm climbing it. Today's parents go, and we go to the playground and go, ooh, wait a minute, this surface here? Ooh, they might get splinters if they fall on these wood chips. You're not going to play over here. Or, oh, this is a new rubberized one. Or this is, because we're scared. We're scared wherever we go. So as a society, we're scared. And I think we need to look at what the angel said. Fear not. So if you're interested in that series, join us this spring. The angel said, fear not. Why? Because God is with us. God is with you. Angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that'll cause great joy to all the people. The angel said to Zechariah, do not be afraid. The angel said to Mary, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So many times in Scripture, do not be afraid. 700 years before Jesus, we're told that Jesus was coming. Look at this verse of Scripture in Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him God with us. We'll call him Emmanuel. If God is for us, who can be against us? Emmanuel, do not fear. God is with us. But you, Bethlehem, another evidence that we can tell our children this Jesus that you believe is real and he was prophesied about. You look at this verse in Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. 740 years before Jesus, this is written. 740 years. The real story that we can tell our kids, the real story that we can tell them. Number one, you don't have to be afraid. God sent our rescuer. He sent our rescuer. The second thing, that Jesus came for everyone. You know what? He came in a situation where people were poor. He came to them. But wise men still seek him. He came, and people who were rich came to him as well. Jesus taught us the best way to live. So when you're confused about how to live, how to get along with people, how to go forward, Jesus gave us a way to live that turned the world on its head. Remember this world that says your value is in what you buy, in what your position is, in what your college is. Parents, how much are we selling our kids or raising them on the priority that Jesus is real, or the fear that you won't get into the right college, that you won't get a scholarship, that you won't? I just look and say, man, I look back and remember in high school, I was an athlete. Brad was an athlete. Oh, some people still believe that. They don't believe you're a singer, though. They heard some of that. The fifth thing that we can know is the Bible tells us that Jesus said, I am with you always until the end of the age. So when you're fearful, when you're scared, when you're at night and you're alone in your room, when you're in a nervous situation, you can actually call out to him and say, Jesus, please help me. Jesus, I know you're with me. I'm not saying don't ever be scared. That's crazy talk. We're all scared of stuff. But there are times when we could say, when we're scared, I know God is with me. Because the Bible says he'd never leave me or forsake me. So when we see all these things, as the band comes up and we're going to close and then go have some birthday cake, I want you to know that Christmas is an opportunity to give our children confidence. One of the little ones said to me, we do this every year, so I know it pretty well. And I said, awesome. Awesome. I hope you've memorized all the lines so that next year you can go, got it, we're good. I hope you grow up so that when you're in college, you can remember the lines and fear not. I hope that you know this story changed everything on our planet. And I hope that you're ready, families, to party, to celebrate, to rejoice. We celebrate the birth of Christ this month. I don't know why. It's somebody said it that way. But we celebrate the change that happened on our earth. In our family, we always, on Christmas Eve day, we have a tradition where our kids read the Christmas story out of Luke, the youngest ones, and they read through it, and we have a birthday cake for Jesus. And that birthday cake for Jesus is decorated with a little manger scene. And our kids grew up remembering that, and our grandkids are growing up remembering that. Have an absolute blast rejoicing at Christmas. But it's an opportunity to teach our children